Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Thank you for joining us today. We are looking forward to continuing our conversation about conflict resolution. Let's jump right in now to part three. We have started a new series, and if you joined us last week, then you were heard the beginning parts of our series on conflict resolution. And last week, we just simply jumped right in and talked about how to identify the conflicts or the importance of identifying the conflicts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind you about that. You need to write it out. Mm. You need to certainly have conversations, which is where we kind of left last week in discussing the conflict. How do we resolve conflicts in a marriage?
Well, last week you had talked about the A word and the N word, and I don't want any of our listeners to think that we're just using euphemisms for bad words. So what would be the words that we avoid in conflict resolution?
You've got to be careful about these two words. Just do all you can to avoid them, and that is the word always. And the word never.
Yes.
And it causes massive, you can really make a conflict worse when you use the phrase, you know what, you always do this. You are always like that. Or you never, absolutely never. Now, you know what, I was thinking, is it possible that one of those words could be true?
Yes.
Is it possible that I always do that, that I never do that? I suppose that's true, but it's also true that using those words automatically throw down the gauntlet.
It does, and it puts your spouse on the defensive.
Absolutely.
Because then they will automatically, in their heart, start thinking about all the times that they actually did do that right.
and evaluate, as we just start here today, about discussing the conflict. If you're going to resolve it, you have to discuss it. And which more aptly describes the way you two have been handling it in your marriage? Do you tend to dig deeper? And just fight it out and keep fighting and eventually just walk away from it without a resolution? Or can you honestly say, you know what, we do stop, we backtrack, we put it in reverse, you know, maybe it takes some time to cool down. Maybe one of the biggest problems about conflict resolution or biggest challenge is that conflict resolution takes time.
It does.
And we're so busy.
Yes.
And you may be thinking to yourself, I don't have time to deal with this right now. And that's fair. We are busy. So one of the things we ended with last week was scheduling it to say, we're going to do this later. We're going to talk about this later.
Right.
If you have a conflict late at night, and both of you are absolutely exhausted from a very long day, it probably isn't always the wisest thing to try to resolve it at, you know, 1 a.m. when your brain is not functioning properly.
Right, and emotions are running high because you are sleep deprived.
Absolutely.
So, yes, maybe just say, look, I love you and nothing's going to change that. And I know we need to talk about it. Let's talk about it tomorrow.
And we've done that more than once to great advantage.
Yes, we have.
Yes, we have. All right, so let's just talk about then determining the why. And this is one of the big things. Why are we having conflict? And I did some research on it, and I came up with, I think, 6 different possible whys. There'd be more.
Okay.
But here's some really big ones, all right? Why are we having a conflict? Here's one of the big ones. Number one, probably because needs are not being met. And that's a huge one, isn't it? I have a need, and I think you ought to meet it, and you're not meeting my need, and I am really frustrated at you for not meeting my need.
Yes.
And can you give a personal illustration about that?
I can. I actually, this is going to be shared on a brand new podcast that's coming out in August. And I used it with a devotional that I shared on that. And so if you listen to that one, just pretend you haven't heard this. But when we were, let's see, younger in our marriage, but we probably had 3 or 4 children at the time, busy in our ministry, busy in traveling, there was just a lot going on, and I could go on and on about all of that, but all you young moms, you know what I'm talking about. There's just a lot to do. And you moms also know, you feel like you're not measuring up, just never getting all of the job done all of the time. And so you feel like you're failing. And I thought, you know, I could use some encouragement. The way we travel in our ministry, I didn't have that older Titus 2 lady that I was in contact with all the time. I could call my mom, but she wasn't there all the time. And I didn't have those girlfriends around me who could just encourage me here and there. And so I thought, I had this brilliant idea. I was like, you know what? David, David can encourage me, and I'm just going to ask him to do it because, you know, I know he sees everything I do, but he's not commenting on it. And I don't know if I'm doing a good job. So I'm just going to say, hey, I could use some encouragement. And so I did. And I remember him looking at me a little confused, like, okay. And he said, well, I can work on that. I can work on that. So a few days later, we were actually traveling to our next meeting. So we're all in the truck and headed somewhere. And I don't even remember exactly what he said, but I do remember he said, you said that you could use some encouragement. And so I thought of some things that would be an encouragement to you. I was thinking about your daily schedule, and I was thinking of some things you could move around just to make things easier for you. You won't feel so overwhelmed with everything and so stressed out. And that should encourage you. That should help you out. And honestly, lady, you all know what I'm thinking right now.
And I shared them very helpful pieces of advice, of encouragement.
All of you ladies know that's not an encouragement. That's trying to fix me. That's trying to fix my schedule. That's actually telling me I'm doing a poor job at what I'm doing. And in my heart, I was disappointed, I will admit, and I will actually admit to wanting to pick him up and throw him out the window.
Can you believe that?
Of the moving vehicle, but that would not have been kind or wise or loving or respectful. So, but later, ladies, I will tell you the Lord worked in my heart that my encouragement does not come from David. Can he encourage me? Yes, he can. And yes, he does. But my encouragement needs to come from the Lord. And so that was a need that I thought I needed to come from David. And so I would say to you, if you're examining your heart over a conflict, first of all, I would say, is this a need that my spouse absolutely needs to meet? Or is this a need that I need to find in Christ?
Now, here's why I wanted Bethy to tell you that story. And just think about all the dynamics of that. What she meant and what I heard were totally different. And
absolutely.
What she was thinking and what I was thinking was totally different. When she said, I need encouragement, to be honest, I can honestly tell you that for my thinking, I was like, seriously? In the sense that for me, it looked like Bethy had everything together and was the most amazing person in the universe. And I thought what she was saying was, I just, you know, need some encouragement from you about how to do this. and I did, you know, the frustration on my part was I had no idea that you were needing help because, you know, everybody would have said Bethy had it all together. Here's a homeschool mom. And especially in those days, we were doing music every night and the kids were dressed alike and everything just looked so perfect. And so I thought I would jump in and give her some encouragement, kind of help her to, you know, maybe alleviate some of this that she all of a sudden was feeling pressure about. But what she was meaning and what I was thinking were two different things.
Absolutely.
And it's so easy for that to happen in your marriage. Mm-hmm. And you know, what we also had to do, we gave grace to each other. There's a spiritual side to this. So
yes.
She's willing to give me grace and I'm willing to grow. And once I realize, oh my goodness, what she's thinking there and what I was thinking, no wonder she was a little upset at me over what I said. And yet understanding where she was coming from. And you know, one of the things about discussing a conflict is this understanding. Mm-hmm. So now I'm learning to understand that when Bethy says I need encouragement, she's not meaning what I originally thought she was meaning. and see, it's always normal for that to happen. You're a man, she's a woman.
Right.
Or you're a woman and he's a man. And you can expect there to be conflict there. So it's a big one when you feel like my needs are not being met.
Right.
And there's two things you can do about that. You can ask two questions. You could say, have I done something to offend or to hurt you? That opens the door for you to listen, to understand. Or you could even say, are you feeling pressure from something that I could help to relieve? You can ask questions. And sometimes when you hear a statement and you're a little confused by it, don't assume. This is a big one.
Right.
Don't assume. I could say never assume, but we don't use that word. Don't assume that you understand the situation. Part of discussing is that I'm trying to understand where you're coming from and what you even mean.
Right. And sometimes, ladies, we have all these emotions, like I did in the illustration I gave, that, my goodness, I need some encouragement and my husband needs to meet that need. Sometimes we have all these emotions swirling around us and the conflict comes not because the need is not being met, but how we express that need. Sometimes, you know, maybe ladies, you're super busy and the kids need you and supper needs you and the laundry needs you all at the same time. And your husband's sitting in the recliner and you're thinking to yourself, hello, the kids are going bananas. This is going bananas. I need some help. And instead of just saying, hey, sweetheart, would you mind coming in and helping me with this? Or could you take the baby for a minute? Instead of that, what do? We bang around the pots and pans so that he knows we're in the kitchen. And there is some clue in his heart that something's going on with you. And if he's wise and he's listened to the Keeping Young podcast, he'll say, have I done something to offend or hurt you?
And you know, one of the things I read the other day that is different often in a husband and a wife, especially maybe in the sense of a stay-at-home wife who's, you know, taking care of the kids and things on the home front, was that as men, we often feel very satisfied in the work we've just done. Mm-hmm. And so when we come to the end of a work day and it's been a good work day, we're just satisfied in our hearts. We're very happy. The work got done. We're fulfilled. We're happy. And we just assume that our wife is that way as well. We just assume that she's very fulfilled and happy in the fact that she did 6 loads of laundry and took care of, you know, all the dirty diapers and fed the children and homeschooled them. And we just assume that, but it's an assumption based on I'm assuming wrongly because I'm seeing it from my perspective. I have not had a discussion to understand, mm-hmm. she has a need and it's not being met.
Right.
Or he has a need and I'm not meeting it.
Yes.
So here's why we have conflict. Mm-hmm. There's an assumption that I have a need not being met. Number two,
yes.
There's differing expectations.
Yes.
And this, you've got to understand this. Are you aware of what she expects or what he expects, what my spouse expects? This is about each sharing their perspective. It's called communication.
Yes.
And when you have a differing expectation, you're going to have issues. Simply understanding each other can often solve the issue.
Yes.
And so once I'm understanding that when she says I need encouragement, she's feeling inadequate. She's feeling below par. Mm-hmm. And when I understand that, then I know that what she needs at that point is me to do something that I'm not necessarily by nature able to do easily, and that's be her cheerleader. And to say to her, you're doing great.
Oh, he even did hand motions and you couldn't see it. That was awesome.
I just did little hand motions with...
Like he had pretend pom-poms.
Is that what those things are called?
Yes.
See, I didn't even know that. You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Thanks for listening to us today as we talked about conflict resolution. We hope you're enjoying this series and learning a lot from it. For more information or to hear more from Keeping It Young, simply visit www.tilradio.org or you can visit us at www.keepingityoungpodcast.com. Today's program has been a co-production of TIL Radio and Keeping It Young. We look forward to your joining us next time as we'll continue our conversation about conflict resolution. We'll see you then. In the meantime, remember to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.